Ross Marquand is here. You know him best probably as Aaron from The Walking Dead, but he's appeared in a bunch of other things, and he's also an amazing impressionist. And I rarely warn a guest, Ross, at the beginning of an interview, but Wendy has said twice that at some point during this half hour, she's going to bite you. So just be ready
for
that.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. All right.
We were promoting it yesterday, and I said, I'm going to bite you.
Yeah.
Because they're biters, they're walkers, they're floaters. They're not zombies.
Well, giddy up. Thanks for that.
There's no resistance at all from your side of the table.
None.
No.
Not
bite
anymore.
Away. All right, have a bite.
Oh, man.
Why not zombies? The word zombies has never once been spoken on Walking Dead. Because why?
Well, because I think they wanted to rebrand the zombie genre, and I think it's smart that they've done that, because it's as if that world didn't exist prior to The Walking Dead. That's what Kirkman always says. He's like, he didn't want the zombie kind of lexicon to ever have entered into readers' minds when they were reading that book. So
yeah.
We don't know why the outbreak started. We don't know how people got infected. And it's not really important at a certain point. You know, in season one, we're like, well, how did this come to be? But
that's
not the real thrust of the show. It's actually about characters and as we were saying earlier, like love and loss and all that good stuff. So
I was telling Ross off the air, I wasn't into The Walking Dead at all. I'm like, you know, I've had enough zombies. My 13-year-old son at the time said, 12 probably, said, you got to watch this. No, Dylan, I don't want zombies. It's more than zombies. It is about the survivors. That's what the story entails.
Yeah.
To your parents, you mentioned something about...
My parents said they were never going to watch the show. They're like, that's not really for us.
See?
It's zombies, you know, that's not a horror. We don't really care for that. I'm like, your son's on the damn show. Can you please watch the show? And to their credit, they did. They gave it a shot. And they've seen almost every single episode twice now. So,
were you a fan prior to getting cast in it?
Yeah.
You were.
A huge fan. That first Halloween episode in 2010, I remember watching that with my friends. We didn't have enough money to go out and go to a proper Hollywood party. So we stayed in. Everyone brought a six-pack of beer, and we just watched this. And we had no idea what to expect because we hadn't obviously seen anything. And we looked at each other after it was over and said, do you want to watch it again? Because it was, you know, on TiVo. And we just, TiVo, I'm dating myself.
I know.
I was like, you know TiVo.
Rewind the VCR.
Yeah, exactly.
Kinescopes that first episode?
Yes,
I think they
exactly.
had it on Kinescope.
And there was a smell. Smell-o-vision. It was great.
It is, you know, when you watch an episode for the second time, you pick up things you missed before. And plus, if you watch with your family, we have to go through the no talking.
Right.
No talking while it's on.
Yeah. Right.
You have to focus on it.
You do. You really do.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
When you first got the role of Aaron, you didn't know this was going to be a running character. It could have just been one episode for all you knew.
Could have been a one and done. I'd auditioned for the show twice already.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure I auditioned for the role of Gareth, the cannibal
season
four. And, because, you know, the sides are close enough to the actual script where you're like, oh, I think that might have been that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was so bummed out when I saw that character because I thought Andrew West did such an amazing job. And then when I saw that he got killed off after four episodes, I said, oh, maybe I dodged a bullet here. You know, it's a good thing I didn't get cast in that. But no, you have no idea. You have zero clue as to what's going to happen. And the sides, the scripts are totally different from what you actually see in the show.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that I got cast in this part because he's such a great guy.
Is it true that when a cast member is killed off, they do like a big farewell dinner for them? Is that still part of the plan there?
Yeah, we do. It's always bittersweet because, you know, you're not just losing a peer, you're losing a friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always tough. You know, we lost some really, really
substantial characters.
Substantial
what
characters.
Is that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to reveal too much about it, but saying goodbye to Michael and Steven early this season
tough.
was people were crying.
Sure.
I mean, I was crying. We were all, you know, pretty heartbroken about it. You know?
On the cliffhanger of that episode when we first meet Negan and his pal Lucille, just the sound of what happened was a stomach turning, and then to open up the season with actually seeing it turned a lot of people off. I quite honestly didn't need to see it. I didn't give up on the show, but it's like, I don't know, the sound was worse for me. So we could use our own imaginations, but was that the most violent showing on television ever?
I don't know about that, but
it was pretty bad.
It was pretty up there. But you know, I think the reason why we were committed to doing that was because we really needed people to get on board with the fact that Negan was a bad, bad man.
He's a bad. Shut your mouth.
Yeah,
talk about Negan.
He's insane. He's absolutely insane. And there's no, I think we had to have that visceral, you know, reaction up front to show that A, he meant business, and B, he's a total psychopath.
Yeah.
Like he uses extreme violence to get what he wants. And I think everything else after that has been kind of a little bit more calm.
Oh, you know?
It's been more about character development for both Negan and the Saviors, and understanding why they are the way they are.
Yeah.
Why they have adopted this sort of kind of barbaric, but also there's rules in the barbarism. You know, it's kind of like Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men. It's like he has a set code. He has a moral. He does have a moral compass. Yeah, but it's his moral compass.
Right.
You know. And I love it. I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan's doing a great job.
Oh my God. And the way he just kind of like shifts around holding the bat is so annoying yet wonderful.
Yeah.
And Major League Baseball is allowing barbed wire on their bats this season. They never did that in the past.
Really?
So I think that's a tribute to you guys.
You would think that would be difficult to hit. You know, it would like actually stick on the ball, you know?
It definitely would be.
You know,
as many homers.
Obviously, B.B. King had his guitar, many guitars named Lucille. Mm-hmm. Any pushback from the B.B. King estate? Yes.
I have a feeling. I haven't talked to Robert about this personally, but I have to imagine that was a tip of the hat, or tip of the bat, as it were. Hey-o! Here were the dad puns all day.
I'll pull your jeans down. They're up too high.
Oh,
the dad jeans.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Yeah, sorry.
She hasn't bitten you yet.
Shut up.
Be very careful. Be very careful.
Yeah, I think Kirkman was probably referencing B.B. King with that one. Yeah.
Do you guys ever suggest to either Robert Kirkman or anyone on board, hey, maybe my character could do a little more of this or a little more of that? Are they receptive to that sort of input?
You know, you don't want to push too much because then you get killed.
Right.
Right.
I think, but we do have, all of us have conversations with Scott Gimple, our showrunner, at the beginning of the season, and we just, you know, kind of gauge where the character's going and try to, you know, have as much input as possible. But truly, there's so many people on this show now. There's so many characters. I mean, there's about 20 series regulars now on the show. And, you know, I think we're just all happy to serve the story the best way we can.
Sure.
And it's become bigger than any one person. I don't even think... You know, I mean, Andy would be the first to say this. It is certainly Rick's journey still, but now it's become so much bigger.
Yeah.
And there's so many fascinating new characters, so many fascinating new communities that they're working with. So it's gotten to be this massive, massive show.
And Eugene is definitely growing up.
Yeah.
Just a little. Yeah. Just a bit.
That mullet, yeah.
Well, the mullet, I'm a fan of the mullet.
Uh-huh.
But he has come into his own and has really turned into a man. You know, it was interesting to watch. Maybe not a nice man, but...
Yeah, but he's just, I mean...
More confident.
True, but I think he's a survivor however he needs to survive. So if it means aligning himself with Negan, he's going to do it.
And I am Negan.
I'm Negan. Just like right away, like, dang, you didn't even skip a beat, you know?
We're talking with Ross Marquand, who plays Aaron on The Walking Dead. He's in town at the Walker Stalker Con this weekend. There's an iconic scene from Saturday Night Live where William Shatner is at a convention and the fans know everything that you can possibly know about Star Trek. You're probably living that right now with Walking Dead, aren't you?
Yeah, it's amazing. I actually met Shatner last year in Cincinnati.
Did you?
At a convention, and he was lovely, but you know, you get to that point where, I mean, it's all the conventions kind of... They look the same at a certain point because it's all like, you know, very fluorescent lighting and cold concrete, you know.
Yeah.
But I think what makes it exciting is that you're getting to meet these people. I mean, I would have given anything to have met the cast of Star Trek Next Generation as a kid. And now that there's this ability to do so, where you're actually able to go and meet people from your favorite show, like that's an amazing thing. And I don't think we could have really done that 40 years ago.
Right.
You know, and it's cool. It's cool. And you see fans and they get teary eyed and you're like, you're getting excited to meet me. Like I just, my brain still can't fathom that. Cause a few years ago I couldn't even freaking pay rent, you know, truly,
it's,
you know,
it's one of those shows though, that creates a community, even with, Chris Hardwick and Talking Dead afterwards. What other show did you get to see, you know, the creators and the writers there just looking like real real people sitting around a couch talking.
There was no talking that girl when that girl was over.
Oh, Donald.
Right. Talking Mary Tyler Moore.
I would have watched that show. Why didn't they ever do that?
I know. And I think it's because people are so excited about the show. They want to actually hear the nuts and bolts of what went on to every episode. And I think it's a testament to the fans who are just so excited to hear the fan theories, to talk about, you know, what's going to happen next. And that's why that show has become, I think it's the second highest watched show after The Walking Dead on AMC.
Wow.
It's a great show.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a nice little 1-2 punch.
It is, yeah.
Russ Markhand is here. He plays Aaron on Walking Dead. Like we said, he's going to be at Walker Stalker Con all this weekend. WalkerStalkerCon.com. It's hard to say con and com in the same word, but there it is. Is your website of choice. When we come back, can we get you to do some of the impressions that I love so much? Oh, man, you're good. Stick around. More coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Bill.
Russ Markhand is here. He plays Aaron on The Walking Dead. And without your permission, I just showed you a picture. There's a statue of you. A toy company in England, Eagle Moss, does characters from the show. You were, I think, January or February's character of the month.
Ooh.
So,
start of the year.
I had no idea.
You got your own statue.
Well, they just released the Aaron action figure.
And McFarlane toys?
My mom was like, you had a doll. I'm like, I have an action figure.
Yeah, it's not a doll.
It's not a doll. And I was so, I mean, that's the weirdest thing.
You have arrived then when you get an action figure.
It's weird. I mean, I used to play G.I. Joes as a kid all the time with my brother. So I'm like, this is the coolest thing all the time, you know.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so. Thank you, yeah.
All right.
Weird moment.
A couple months ago, you're on Conan O'Brien's show, and they're talking to you, of course, about Walking Dead. But then you start doing some impressions, and every one of them is better than the next.
Oh, thank you.
And then Huffington Post just ran something either yesterday or the day before with you doing actors in roles that they're not famous for.
Right.
Wow, are you good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How did this start? How did you start doing the impressions?
Truly, it was a desire to not get beat up by my brothers. I have two older brothers, and they used to legitimately like beat the crap out of me every day of my life. And I found that early on, if I made them laugh, they wouldn't. The beatdowns wouldn't be as severe or as frequent.
You could diffuse it a little bit.
Yeah. So that's where it came from. And I just, you know, my parents used to watch the Johnny Carson show. All the time. And I realized if I just learned how to emulate Johnny, that's actually more Casey Kasem. This is Casey Carson. That's not a that's a good mashup.
You can merge those guys.
Casey Carson coming this fall to Fox on the WGN network. Casey Carson. I want
that works. Well, their voices are in the same lane, kind of, aren't they?
Yeah.
Although I never realized it till just now.
Very similar.
Yeah.
All right. Do a couple. The ones that blow me away. I never saw anyone do Zach Galifianakis before, but you've nailed that one.
Thank you very much. I don't think Zach actually. He doesn't stutter as much as I'm doing him now. But I feel like that's the best way that I feel like he's, you know, that I can emulate him. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very nice of you. In fact, you should. I'm now that you said that, because I'm going to put you in the Hangover Part 4, and you're going to be. You're going to be my best drinking buddy.
Wow. Can we get a little John C. Reilly, Chicago actor John C. Reilly?
John C. Reilly. Jeez, I can't believe I'm back in Chicago. I can't wait to have some sausages while I'm here. You know, I just really love the bacon-wrapped sausages. You're going to just go out. I noticed that you guys outlawed the duck with pate.
Yeah,
you don't have any more.
No more.
It's outlawed. What is it called again? Where you stuff a duck?
With turducken.
Turducken, not the turducken where it's like you where the
foie gras.
Foie gras. Yeah. That's a fun phrase to say when you're John C. Reilly. Foie gras. So, you know.
Wow. If you wouldn't mind, and this guy, not only a great actor, but a great impression of himself, Kevin Spacey. You also do some Kevin Spacey.
Oh, sure, Bill. I'd love to. You know, more often than not, people nowadays have been asking for Frank Underwood as Kevin Spacey, and I'm happy to oblige. But you see, I really love this the old school Kevin Spacey, more soft-spoken like this. Yeah.
Oh, man. You're so good at
you
that.
You are fantastic.
Thank you.
Do you do any impressions of your coworkers, like Rick Grimes? Or Daryl?
I did a long time ago.
Yeah.
Before I got on the show, I did Norman Reedus and Andy Lincoln. But because you just learn, like, when you work with people, you don't do impressions of people you work with. Because I did that once with Larry David, and it backfired. It backfired so hard, and I just, never again. Never going to do that again.
What did you say to Larry David that upset him?
He wasn't super upset, but I was doing voice matching work for a film that he had done for HBO. Yeah. And he was laughing. He was really enjoying the work I was doing, but then the engineer was like, who else are you doing? And he's like, you know, do Larry. And I was like, well, you know, it's pretty, you know. And he leaned back in his seat, and he kind of clasped his hands together, and he said, it's not your best.
Oh, no.
I said, okay, all right. And he was right. It wasn't my best. So I said, never again.
It would be weird doing it to the person, because they don't hear themselves like that.
No, and they might get offended. Yeah. You know, you never know. So I don't do it.
When you were in school, I learned to do impressions of all my teachers, because you could only succeed by impersonating your teachers. Did you ever try doing any of that?
Oh, yeah. I used to make fun of my teachers all the time, behind their backs,
yes, not to their face.
And it made me very happy.
Yeah.
Got me a lot of friends.
Yeah. You grew up in Colorado. Fort Collins, Colorado?
I was born in Fort Collins. I was raised in Littleton, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you go back home, if you go back home, what's the reaction for people who grew up with you and knew you? Because now you're on one of TV's biggest hits. What do they say?
Nothing really changed. I mean, you know, because they still, you know, take the well, I can't say that, I don't know, out of the air. They still give me a good ribbing. They give me a hard time.
Yeah.
Because you should. I mean, like, it's like, you know, my family's still there, and it's really, you know, it's the town has changed a lot more than anything. I mean, it's grown so much. The marijuana industry has caused Colorado to grow vastly. So I hardly recognize it when I come back.
Really?
And pizza sales are up because of that.
That's right.
And Little Debbie's.
Yes, and Little Debbie's. Yeah, but it's impossible to buy a house out there because it's illegal for them to bank.
Yeah.
But they can buy homes with cash.
Oh.
So they're just, it's money laundering, essentially. Yeah. So they're taking all that vast sums of money and just buying houses.
Ah.
So my friends who have kids and they're trying to start families, they can't buy a house because they're getting bought up like crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Bring them here to Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love Chicago. This is my favorite city.
Do you really?
It's my favorite city, yeah.
Spend more time here.
I want to.
You should. It's. I mean, now that the weather's nice, there's no excuse not to.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
You get like a 3-month window where it's just perfect out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, three months, that's it.
Yeah, basically.
All right, so what haven't you done yet, Ross, that you want to do? You're on one of the, like I said, one of the biggest hits on TV. If you could just pick something to do that you haven't done yet, what would it be?
Well, but it's funny you mention, because when I was a kid, my grandmother took me on the Chicago architecture tour.
Yeah.
You know, all up and down.
You wanted to be an architect.
I did.
Yeah.
Before acting, I was like, maybe this architecture thing could work out, because the architecture here, I think, is the best in the world. Honestly, I don't think there's any city in the world that comes close in terms of like the vastness and how many different types of buildings there are here.
Yeah,
so many different styles being represented, and I this was what got me going, Chicago.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, this whole acting bug got me.
It'll pass.
It'll be fine. So one day I would actually like to be an architect. Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be fun.
That'd be excellent.
Yeah.
An honor to meet you. Wendy and I always hope when there's somebody we so admire on television that when they come in, they're as nice as we dream them to be, and
you've
surpassed that.
Thank you very much.
Ross Marquand, one of the stars of Walking Dead. You can see him at the Walker Stalker Con. Go to walkerstalkercon.com/Chicago. All your information's there, and you have your own website, which is your name.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Real
and
original.
Twitter and everywhere.
You're everywhere.
Yeah.
So right. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Big
thanks
fan.
For having
me. I won't bite you.
Okay.
You got through the half hour, no biting.
Hey, nailed it.
Bill, you can do it.
All right. Quick break and then more show. Yeah. Bill and Wendy, WGN.